Today we're beginning 4 weeks leading up to Easter. And so this poster on the wall here is kind of an indication of the journey to redemption, the series is called. The first one that we're looking at today is this one. That is the Redeemer exposed, and that is reference to the Palm Sunday coming up when he comes into Jerusalem. The second one is the Redeemer explained. Wow. Sorry about that. Don't know what happened. The Redeemer explained in reference to the Last Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. The third is the Redeemer expressed, that is on the cross, what he has done for us. And then on Easter Sunday, the Redeemer exhibited, the resurrection. And so I'm looking forward to the next coming weeks. I had been talking with our brother Irwin at IBC Central, and we've actually been working on this together. So Central and IBC here, we're doing the same series. We're a little different, but we're working on the same basic idea and program together. So that's an encouragement. Today is the Redeemer exposed, the coming, the presentation of Jesus Christ during what we call Palm Sunday or the triumphal entry, sometimes it's referred to. We've talked about this many times over the years. Every year we come to Palm Sunday, we make reference to it, and there's different aspects that we look at. I like to look at Palm Sunday as that time when God presented to us the lamb, the final lamb sacrifice, presented it to Jerusalem, to his people first, but to the world. And he was to be that final lamb that was to be given for all. Today, the Redeemer exposed. The focus of this year's Easter is on this word, though, Redeemer or redemption, to redeem. To redeem something. This may be something that we're not all accustomed to, this idea, this word. It's not a word that we may use very often. What does it mean to redeem? To redeem simply means to buy out something. And it's in reference to the purchase specifically of a slave's freedom. And perhaps this is why we're not so familiar with the idea of redeem, because we don't have slavery. You may feel like a slave. Some of you wives feel like you're a slave to your family. Maybe you feel a slave at work, but it's not the same. We don't have slavery per se anymore in our culture here. And thankfully, maybe we're more familiar with other words of redeem that we've seen. I grew up seeing the word redeem in this particular aspect. I found a coupon online. Do we have that coupon online? There we go. Okay. Fortnite. Any Fortnite players here? I don't play Fortnite. Nobody? I thought it was a real popular game. Okay, not many Fortnite players, but you know what it is. It's a game. It's a video game. This particular one is 30% off. Receive 30% off when you purchase Fortnite. But then it says offer what? Redeemable. Only through Steam's online store. And then you click this redeem code if you want to get that. Now, you can't go and purchase this game and expect to get 30% off unless you have this. Unless you have this particular coupon. Unless you have that particular code. And then you can give them that, and then they give you the discount. In other words, this is another way of buying out something. You go to a store, you have a coupon in your hand, you say, I want my 30% off. And they say, well, do you have a coupon? You say, no, but I saw it somewhere. I want it. You got to have the coupon. Okay, to redeem it, you need to have the coupon. But we need to note, though, at the time of the apostles, at the time of Jesus, slavery in the Roman Empire was common. It was very common. It's estimated there were some 15 to 30% of the people that lived in the empire were actually slaves. That's a large percentage, 15 to 30. I mean, at the 30%, that's close to one in every three persons was living as a slave in the culture. It was a very common thing. You were made a slave a number of ways. One way was that you were born into it. If your parents were slaves and they had a child, you were born into slavery, you were also a slave. You're not a free person. You're a slave. Other slaves were made slaves through conquer. The Roman Empire conquered regions. And when they would do that, they would bring back many. And they were used and sold as slaves. Sometimes children were sold as slaves by their fathers to pay off debt, to take care of some things, because at that time, the father's power was absolute in the family. I like this one a lot, you know. The power's authority was absolute. And if he needed to pay off that car or a debt or the house, you know, one of the kids can go. We have too many anyway. Amen. Some even sold themselves into slavery to pay off debt. I ran out of kids to pay my debt. Okay, I'll put myself into slavery. And it may be for a time until that debt is paid for, but you go into a form of slavery yourself out of your own will. And not all slavery was like as depicted. It wasn't always about, you know, you're working them to death and you're beating them every day. Sometimes, you know, they lived decent lives. They were taken care of. And many times a master may gift freedom to a slave that has done such a good job, worked for him well, represented him well, helped his businesses, helped his ventures to succeed. And he gifts him freedom, or he wills it to them. Upon his death, you know, this one is set free, or these are set free. They're no longer to be slaves. They're not just to be passed down after my death. But with this idea of slavery in mind, again, something that we don't live with, but it was well known during the apostles' time. And so perhaps early Christians understood what it was to be redeemed better. But with this in mind, the application is telling. Christ, the Redeemer, he died on the cross to redeem us. Therefore, the implication to this understanding of Christ the Redeemer is that prior to that, our condition was one of slavery. We were slaves. We were sold into slavery because of our debt to sin. Sin was our master. We were slaves to it. We were not free, but we were enslaved to sin. And so when Jesus died, he redeemed us. He paid our debt that was owing, whatever that was, our debt of sin in that case, our debt of God's judgment and wrath that was upon us. Jesus paid for that. And we were set free from our slavery that we were bound to and that we couldn't pay ourselves. I mentioned some people sold themselves into slavery. And the intention was they would do it for a while, work off their debt, and then they would be free again. Guys, when we were slaves to sin, no amount of working would work off our debt. It was hopeless slavery. We would never be free from that. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, died. He paid the debt. He provided redemption. Romans 6:6 reminds us, look at this. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Paul's writing to Christians explaining what Jesus did for us. But he says, because of what he did, we are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. This is what you were. But you're not that anymore. You were a slave to sin, but you're not anymore. You've been set free. Live in your freedom. Not freedom to sin again. Paul talks about this. Shall we go on sinning? Of course not. How shall we that have been set free from sin come back into slavery to it? That's crazy. But rather, we have a new master, a new Lord, a gracious, loving Lord who provides all that we need. And we serve him with our freedom. We willingly serve a gracious, kind Lord. So over the next 4 weeks leading up to Easter, we're looking at the journey of the Redeemer, the one who set us free from sin and death. Let's look at the journey the Redeemer exposed. In this event, we call the triumphal entry, we call Palm Sunday sometimes. Let's bow our heads in prayer and we'll begin. Thank you, Lord, for the Redeemer and the redemption that has provided to us by Jesus Christ. Lord, direct our thoughts and our understanding over the coming weeks as we bring a focus to the Redeemer and what he did for us, what it means for us, and may we be renewed by it. And Lord, I pray also that if there is people who don't know Jesus Christ yet, they've never been redeemed, they're still slaves in sin, Lord, I pray that they would come to know Jesus themselves, that they would trust him. Lord, bring the lost among us, that they may hear the good news of the Redeemer. Save them, I pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at the first 11 verses of Matthew in today's message. The first part of this section, we're going to see Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then we're going to see Jesus, the King of Peace. And then Jesus, the King of Kings. But the first one, the King of the Jews. Look at verse number 1 of Matthew 21. Follow along. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Okay, the time for Jesus' ministry on earth was coming to the end. The end of his ministry, earthly ministry, was here. It was coming to a close. This is the only time that we see Jesus actually prepare, plan, and encourage a public display like this. Usually, he was saying, no, be quiet, go and tell no one, or something of the like. But this time, he was welcoming it and preparing for this special presentation, this special entry into Jerusalem. This was different. This was done, the scripture says, to fulfill the prophecy. The prophecy was found in Zechariah in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is what it says in Zechariah: "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So this is the prophet. This is Zechariah. That's what was being referred to in Matthew as he was explaining what Jesus was doing. And by the way, if we compare the two, compare Matthew with Zechariah, we see a couple of differences. Matthew seems to omit a couple of things from the quote. The first was the words, "rejoice greatly." That's not in the Matthew quote. And sometimes this happened, by the way, when a writer in the New Testament was referring to the Old Testament. Sometimes it would be a slight change or just omitting a part of it. We don't know why he omitted this, except the fact that we know when Jesus came into Jerusalem, rather than a rejoicing time, he wept over it because he realized they don't understand. They're not getting it. They don't recognize the Messiah and what he was there for. It was a time of weeping for Jesus. But we also see, and secondly, he omits righteous and victorious. The people didn't see this clearly. They didn't see who the Messiah was to be. They thought that this might be the one that was promised, but they didn't see it from God's perspective. They didn't see what he was actually there for. And the word here, victorious, from Zechariah, is the Hebrew word to save. So when it says righteous and victorious, the word victorious means to save, or means salvation. The Messiah had come to save, but they misunderstood that salvation. Now, before we judge them harshly for misunderstanding this, we need to realize that today many do the same things. Many do the same things. They don't fully understand, or they choose not to understand, why Jesus really came, why the Messiah came. One prime example is like a quote from Isaiah 53 that says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." You know how many times this particular verse has been taken and used, that because Jesus died on the cross, then we are healed, and we're healed from sickness and cancer and viruses and all ailments that plague us. And they claim this as a promise of any and all physical healing. The text, though, itself tells us what we are healed from. It says we are healed. He was pierced for our what? Our transgressions. He was crushed for our what? Iniquities. This is what he came to heal us from. Our sin. Our transgressions against God, against the law of God. He came to crush that, because we were slaves to sin eternally. But because of his death, he redeemed us. He bought us out. He saved us. And that is what we are saved from. That is what we are healed from. So Jesus comes riding on a colt. This means a young donkey. And it was a donkey that had never been ridden. There were two animals. One was a donkey. One was a young colt. Likely because the young colt would more gently and easy follow the mother, the mare. And so they were both together. We see in Mark 11, Jesus said, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." So that part was explained more in the book of Mark, that no one has ever ridden it. Now, the Jews regarded especially beasts that had never been used as especially suited for a special and holy purposes, something that had never been used before. And so this was an example of that, a colt that's never been ridden. He has a special purpose. Jesus was the righteous King of the Jews, bringing salvation. Now, church, we must also recognize who this was. Don't make the same mistakes and think Jesus came to just make your life better, to make you more comfortable, to make life easier for you. He's still the righteous King, and he came to bring us salvation, to save us, to heal us from our sin. Let us remember that as we go into Easter this year, 2021. The second thing that we see, starting in verse 6, is Jesus, the King of Peace. Look at verse number 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Okay, we need to take note of a couple things. First, historically, entering a city on a donkey signified entry in peace. The intention was there is peace. If you're like me, you know, I thought perhaps when I was growing up, sometimes coming in on a donkey was a display of humility. Oh, you know, if he was really prideful, he'd come in on a great horse. But he came in on just a donkey. You know, he was born in a manger, humility. He came into Jerusalem on a donkey, more humility. But that's not the intention. That is not the intention here. Remember in the Old Testament, kings would ride a donkey at peace times. It was something kingly to do. We see an example in Judges chapter 5. It's written, you who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, consider. So this was some warnings that were given to the people, but he was addressing those who ride on white donkeys and those who are walking on the road. What this meant was two extremes. Those who ride on white donkeys are the upper class and the princes of Israel. And those who walk along the road are the common people, everyone, from the very highest end to the very lowest end. So it's not that riding a donkey signified a low class, something, you know, humble. No, this was a kingly thing. And so for Jesus, you know, Jesus walked everywhere. But for this time, go get an unused colt for a special purpose, a holy purpose. He was showing he was the King of the Jews. He was the King of Peace. What was the message of the coming of the Messiah? Luke writes, you know, in recording the angel, he writes, peace on earth. This was why Jesus Christ came, to bring a peace. Peace between God and man. He was the Messiah, the one who would redeem us, the one who would satisfy the wrath of God. Remember that big word that starts with a P that we've talked about many times in the past? Jesus was the propitiation. The propitiation, that means the righteous wrath of God was satisfied. And Jesus was that righteous satisfaction of God. He was the propitiation for us. He came to bring peace. Isaiah depicted the coming Messiah in Isaiah 9, verse 6 as, well, he called him many names, but the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This was the Messiah that was to come. Why? Because he was providing a way for peace. Peace between God and man. And it's not until Revelation, the book of Revelation in the New Testament, that we see this King of the Jews, the King of Peace, enter into the world in a different manner. Revelation 19, verse 11 says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white, what? Donkey? It's not a donkey, is it? It's not a white donkey, as we saw in Judges, which kings also rode, kings and princes. But this time it was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True, who with justice he judges and wages war. This is the coming of Jesus Christ at this time. At this time. Instead of a white donkey, he comes on this white horse. And instead of saying, you know, peace on earth, he comes for war. to judge the world in regard to sin. This is a different time. This is a different purpose. So the King of Peace has come to bring peace with us and God the Father. He came on a donkey colt, symbolizing his intent, but the people still didn't get it. How about you? Do you have peace with God? Do you have that peace of God inside, the peace that passes all understanding? That peace is provided to us by the Prince of Peace, by Jesus Christ, provided to all who believe on him. I urge you, put your faith in Jesus. He redeemed us. He paid for our sins. He is that Redeemer. Trust the King of Peace. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this faith does. It brings peace with God. Okay, nobody look. Let's not make any issue. We have peace with God. What happened to my light? Did the phone do that too? I feel like I'm in the dark now. Here it comes. Oh, okay, where were we? Okay, we have peace with God. Finally, number three, we see Jesus, the King of Kings. Verse number 9. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowd answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The crowd cheered. What did they cheer? Hosanna. They shouted Hosanna. And we do the same thing. We sing songs with Hosanna in them, often on Easter. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Why do we shout Hosanna? It's a phrase that comes from Psalm chapter 118. The Jews knew this phrase. They knew this psalm. This was a well-known psalm to them. Psalm 118, verse 25 says, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. That's where Hosanna comes from. The word save here is the Hebrew word yasha. Can you say yasha? Yasha. I guess that's right. I'm not a Hebrew expert here, okay? But yasha. And the word the word for now, the Hebrew word now, is the word naw. Say naw. N-A-W. Naw. When you say it together, you got yasha, naw. Very good. And this is what they were saying. Yashana. Yashana. That means save now. Save now. This is what they were shouting out when they saw Jesus coming on the donkey. Yashana. And it gets changed into our language as Hosanna. Hosanna. Yashana. In the highest heaven. In the highest heaven, they were saying, indicates that he was not just another ordinary earthly king, but he was king of all. Not just king of Jerusalem or of Israel or of, you know, a continent or even of this world, but he was king of all. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This was God in the flesh. However, and we have to say a bit of however here. They're saying, save now, Hosanna, was in reference in their minds to the oppression of the Romans that they had been facing. And they were under oppression. The Romans gave them some freedom, but they still had their thumb upon them. They had some freedom to live, to make a living, as long as they paid their taxes. They had some freedoms to do their worship and their cultural things, and they exercised this, but they were still under the rule of Rome. And sometimes that was difficult for them. It was not easy. They wanted that freedom. And so in their minds, they were looking for the Messiah to come, to be the one that would finally bring that freedom from the oppression of political powers that were upon them. And this king was the one to save them from that. They were not necessarily thinking of the eternal and the spiritual salvation from sin that the Messiah was to bring. The people were stirred and they asked, "Who is this?" And the reply from the crowds was, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." They knew of him. They heard of him. He had been out teaching and amazing crowds for years at this time. And they said, "This is the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." But the truth is, they really did not understand who this was. And shortly afterwards, after this time of Hosanna and acknowledging this was a prophet from Nazareth of Galilee, they were calling later for his crucifixion. "Crucify him. He's not what we thought he would be." What caused this spiritual blindness in the people? Why were they blind to him? There's a number of things that we could point to. We could point to the spiritual leaders at the time, and they had taken the truth of the Word of God and they substituted much of it with their man-made traditions and their man-made rules. And so the spiritual leaders had done this to the people for some time. There were some who were more interested in protecting their own interests rather than having the truth. They were protecting their own interests. And Jesus started to become a threat to their interest. And the people were interested in what he had to say. And so they wanted to finish that. They wanted to put a stop to that. And we know that the longer they resisted the truth, the more blind they become to it. Once again, how about you? Coming up Palm Sunday, it's coming up quickly. Easter this year is coming up quickly, but coming up Palm Sunday, will you also be shouting Hosanna? It's okay, I hope so. But will your understanding be that Jesus is the King of Kings that has come to save you? Not just to give you a better life, but an eternal life. He came to save you from sin and from the wrath of God. He came to be that propitiation for you, for your sin, to satisfy the righteous wrath of God. Jesus, the King of the Jews, Jesus, the King of Peace, and Jesus, the King of Kings, this is who he was. This is our Redeemer. Will you stand with me? Stand with me, please. Everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. This is a time for reflection. We call it our invitational time because we invite you to respond to the working of God, to respond to the Holy Spirit working in each heart. And maybe your response this morning is simply an acknowledgement anew of who Jesus is. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Peace. He's also the King of Kings. Maybe your response is to anew and afresh thank him for his wonderful redemption, his redemption plan. Jesus came to be the Redeemer. The implication there is your sin. You were a slave to sin. You served your master. And there was no getting free from that master. There was no getting free from sin. But Jesus redeemed you. He bought you out. He paid for your sin debt that you owed so that you can be set free. Are you living in that freedom? Such a shame to see people who've been set free only to go right back to the same bondage that they were freed from. To any thinking person, that just doesn't make sense. But we see that happen too much. If that's you, go to the Lord this morning. Confession. Repent. And say, Lord, I want to walk in freedom. I'm going to live in the freedom that you've given to me. I'm going to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. You've redeemed me. I don't want to go back into sin. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I'm set free. I'm a child of God. Maybe there's someone here this morning that is still in bondage. Maybe you're a slave to sin still. Maybe you haven't realized what it was, but God is showing you that you are a slave to sin. He died to set you free, and that's the good news. He died so that you don't have to continue to be a slave. You are set free to serve your glorious, good Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Live for Him. Serve Him. Make Him your object of affection and devotion. Nothing else. Whatever your need is, go to the Lord at this time. And I invite you, if you need to come and pray at the front, this is that time. Come. The invitation is open to you. If you need to talk with somebody at this time, step forward where you are. Someone will be able to meet with you, pray with you, share with you the Word of God. Whatever your need is, would you come at this time? Just a few minutes, and then I'll close us out in a word of prayer. Would you come? The invitation to you is open. Come to the Lord. Father, Lord, I thank you for the coming of the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. When He was presented that day in Jerusalem, oh Lord, I would have loved to have been there. What a great day that would have been. But Lord, He came on a colt, a donkey colt, as royalty would, but He came to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace. As the angel said, He came to bring peace on earth. And Lord, I pray that each of us in here have experienced receiving that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anybody here who has not, Father, I pray for their soul. I pray for their salvation. Lord, continue to work and convict that heart and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, the only one who can truly set them free. We cannot pay our own sin debt. And Lord, may we as believers be reminded anew and afresh this year of the wonderful events that took place from Palm Sunday up through the crucifixion and the resurrection and what it means for us. Thank you that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we've been redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat, please. We have a few announcements.